Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the barroom with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Bixon. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, and over to my left, screen left, is the great, the only Mike North. How are you, my friend?
I'm feeling good, Aldo. It's good to talk to you. We had another meeting today. My head is splitting. I can't take it. The stress that's going on. We got announcements to make in a couple weeks. Next week will be our last actual like sports type barroom show. Then we're going to have one more under another name maybe or what have you. And there's my guys from the South Burb Hitmen. I love them all. What a show that is, especially this year. Way to jump in, fellas. Way to jump in at the right time with the powerful, mighty Chicago White Sox, led by the powerful and mighty Anthony La Russa. I don't even know if it's Anthony, but let's give him the respect that he so richly deserves. Manager of the Year runaway right now. Oh, people got egg on their face. It's such a shame, but it's a long season. How many more injuries will it take? I have no idea. But anyway, like I was saying, Aldo, then we're going to do a show that is going to be like a forward to a project that we are very been working very hard on that's going to be taking off soon. So we're excited about that. And we got the Win Daily folks, and everything's going good. I got we'll be on today with the Carmen and Yurko show today instead of tomorrow. That will be at 11:48 with my bonus pick, which I hit Boston last week, the Red Sox. And then we're going to be doing our odds couple podcasts also, which has been a great joy. But nothing brings me greater joy than this fantastic show where my rebirth, if you will, began. And, you know, just a good, good time. The house is looking good. You've changed locations. You've gotten out of the dungeon, if you will. I felt that you were the gimp, starting to be like the gimp in Pulp Fiction. You only came up if the chain was yanked. But I got my ballroom hat on, which has some dust on it, because you know what? I mean, I play golf in it. I run in it. Nice. I mean, I do the things I got to do. So what's happening with you, my friend?
Well, before we get to me, I got to tell you, you look in tip-top shape. What, have you been hitting the weights or something? You look like you've lost some weight. You look stronger and better than ever.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you this. I purposely said to you, I need more time with the project we're working on. And I'm not saying that I really look after or look up to people, but I did growing up. I looked up to people. And one of the people I looked up to was Elvis Presley. And if you're going to have something like we got happening soon, I said, I need more time. I need more time to lose some weight. I got to drop a couple pounds and this and that and to collect my thoughts. And when you read about Elvis, for instance, he was scared to death about the 68 special. He didn't even have the confidence that he thought that he should have to do that special. And then it's the greatest special. Maybe when you look at TV specials with musical genres, his is a top five of all time. So that and Aloha from Hawaii, which was all over the world.
Yeah. Right.
Because they told the Colonel, when are you going to let him tour Europe? You know, when are you going to let him tour Japan? This is Elvis Presley. He should be all over the world. Like the other acts are going right. All over the world. He right. goes, I got something better. How's a satellite with a billion people at one time? And then that was it. And, you know, people don't like that. And Elvis always wanted to go other places. But the colonel said, I'll get you there all in one night. And I don't have to go over there. You don't have to travel. And that was that. So, yeah, I'm in the Elvis Presley mode. I'm ready, getting ready for our big-time deal. That's all I got to tell you.
That's right. Well, and his one of his famous songs, which I think was actually first recorded by Frank Sinatra, I Did It My Way. He sang that spectacularly on that Hawaii show. And it's really could be the theme song for your life, your career.
Yeah. I mean, it's been crazy. If you told me when I was at Senn High School, for instance, and the counselor, James Neeson, I'll never forget him to this day, telling me you're a bum, you'll never amount to anything. And, you know, you take that to heart. Nowadays, you know, they try to fire the guy. Mm-hmm. When really I should, you know, and I use it as a chip on my shoulder. I think negative things that are said about you that people, you know, cry about and whine about instead of try to gather strength from or get better are the things that propelled me. So it's going to be fun, all this stuff that we got going on. And I know that I talked to Adam Rifkin from the movie deal the other day, talking to him, Jeremy Morrison. So, you know, the COVID thing threw a monkey wrench into certain things, but I always told everybody that things would start happening like late 2021. So we're excited. But a lot of good things are happening in Chicago right now, aren't they?
You know what? You just read my mind. The Cubs, the White Sox, both teams are playing well. The Cubs have had a little hiccup here on the road. We'll talk more about that. But besides that, we're in the NBA playoffs. We're in the Stanley Cup, close to the Stanley Cup finals. We've got the betting is open, the baseball stadiums. It's a great time to be alive, my friend. It's really, really exciting.
2-0 last week on this show. I gave both winners. I got two golf winners today. I might as well give them out to you now.
Cool.
Because you know what? The U.S. Open, they're playing at Torrey Pines in San Diego, right?
Right.
And if you've ever been out that way, and my wife and I went to Laguna Niguel, we stayed at the Ritz back in the day, right on the ocean, had a double suite. Look at, we're hearing the waves hit.
Nice. But
it was always foggy. Oh, so now they're like stunned that play has been delayed today because of fog. I'm sorry. You're playing right off the ocean. It's foggy. And it's that type of year. So I said, I might as well give them out now because who knows when they're going to start. Play was delayed a half an hour, but they just showed the golf channel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to look for Peacock. You got a goddamn golf channel, and I can't get the U.S. Open there. I got to go to some place called Peacock. Are you out of your mind? Live from the U.S. Open. No, not really. Not once they start playing, but, you know, it's the golf channel. Pisses me off. It really does.
Yeah, me too.
So you can get clicked for Peacock and everybody else? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I want to watch an NBA playoff game. I got to check to see if it's on ESPN or TNT or USA or your mama's channel. It's crazy what's happened with all these options.
I remember when everybody threw a fit because Reinsdorf bought Comcast. Mm-hmm. And the Sox were going to be splitting time between WGN and Comcast. How are we going to keep track? Now there's like 19 different channels. You know? I mean, it's crazy. And then DirecTV picks up. And here's the reason I love DirecTV. I know every announcing team.
Mm-hmm.
The best announcing team to me is the one in Boston. I don't know who the guy is, but I know Jerry Remy is the best announcing team. I mean, Jerry Remy's a great analyst. Then there's the guys in San Francisco, Dwayne Kuiper, Johnny Miller. I love John Miller. He should still be doing the baseball telecast, in my opinion. Yeah. If they told me tomorrow John Miller's coming back, I'd be absolutely thrilled. I don't know what happened there, but I like them. So when I hear that Stoney or Jason Benetti and Stone are somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the middle. And I think the same thing goes for the Cub announcers. The TV announcers, they're in the middle. There's a Ray Fossey, the guy in Oakland. There's some great ones. I don't think the Yankees have a particularly good announcing team, but there's some terrific announcers all over baseball. And so when I hear somebody from Chicago say, oh, this group is, this announcing team's the best in baseball. Okay, who else is, have you listened to? Well, only one other, but I'm going to tell you something. Every city does it, okay? And that it, and by the way, it's not bad to be in the middle of something.
Yeah, really.
You could be at the end of it, you know?
That's right.
I always looked at it this way. Like, I remember I used to read People magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have who wore it best, okay? Mm-hmm. And they'd have two hot celebrities, okay? Two hot ladies in the same dress.
They'd
say, who wore it best? It might be Selma Hayek and Penelope Cruz, let's say. Mm-hmm. And they'd have the same dress on. And they never had, how about both wore it best? They never had that. So you had to make a decision. Okay. So there was this dress that wasn't as flattering to Selma Hayek as it was to Penelope Cruz. Penelope Cruz wins like 70-30.
Mm-hmm.
But I always looked at it this way. 30% liked yours better. That's a nice chunk of an audience.
Yeah.
Remember that. Remember that. So you got to look at things both ways. And you're one of the two on the poll that they took the poll with.
Mm-hmm.
So I know people used to get up, celebrities, and have a heart attack. If, like, if somebody got 16%, well, it wasn't a good look, maybe. Okay? But right. If you're 35, 40, 45... I mean, come on. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the edge of my seat here, Mike, because actually last night I was looking at the odds for the U.S. Open, and you are going to give us your picks.
I'm sorry. I got the People magazine. It has nothing to do with anything. Phil Mickelson and Lee Westwood today. Take Lee Westwood in a matchup, okay. Getting 110 against Phil Mickelson, who everybody thinks is going to be all this and all that because he won the major.
Right.
I'm not so sure of that. Okay. And the other one is a matchup on Bovada, Bryson DeChambeau against Koepka. Okay. Which is a picket. Take DeChambeau. And I also took DeChambeau at plus 1700 on every 100 to win this thing. Right now, that's ranked third. John Rahm is ranked first. So, you know. A lot of people aren't talking about Rory. A lot of people aren't talking about Dustin Johnson.
Right.
I'll tell you another guy. Nobody said a word about Jordan Spieth. So look at those guys, too.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the guys they're talking plenty about. John Rahm, they're talking a lot about him. They're talking a lot about Phil.
Yep.
You know, they're talking about Koepka a little bit. Mm-hmm. So they're not talking about Rory. Rory's not being talked about, and he's won a tournament this year. So, I mean, this is kind of, guys get top dollar for this type of golf. I'm just telling everybody this from the bottom of my heart. I mean, they need scripts and everything. This is nothing. This is easy. You got time to think about this. You know, I got to tell you, I am transfixed on your living room. It's beautiful.
Yeah, people are complimenting me in the chat room regarding my apparel, my living room, everything.
Yeah. I look like I'm broadcasting from a North Korean jail, for God's sake. You know what I mean?
I'm even getting a compliment on my facial hair. Look at this.
Now people are getting out of line.
Hey, Mike, I love your picks. And I got to tell you, last night I looked at, they've got, you can bet on who's going to end up in a top five, top 10. And so I put 50 jelly beans on Louis Oosthuizen to finish in the top 10. And because I love the way the guy putts, I love his short game and stuff. So, it'll give me something, hopefully, on Sunday to watch the U.S. Open.
And you can bet live on these things on Sunday. You could take the top three guys, try to get your money back. You can, Oosthuizen's not been good for me. I mean, I've had him once or twice, and he's just faded on a Sunday. But he's a good golfer. He's tournament tested. He's been there. I just don't know if he's got enough game anymore to stay with the big guns. But I like him. I mean, people seem to be hanging on to the Xander Schauffele guy and Victor Hovland. They're popular for some reason. To me, I stay away from them. I go tournament by tournament. I go by feel. Nobody's really talked about DeChambeau all that much, except that he can hit the ball country mile. But we'll see what happens. when they get started. You got personal matchups every single day that you can check. I mean, golf betting to me has been prevalent now. I mean, COVID's the thing that caused me. I never bet on golf until this year. Then I won a couple big paydays. One with Thomas, Justin Thomas, and I forget the other guy, but I won a couple big paydays, and I said, I'm hooked. And it's only by gut feel. You don't know.
Right. Well, and I remember last year, you on ESPN's The Odds Couple with Carmen DeFalco,
right.
you had like an interesting strategy where you kind of picked members from the field. Do you recall how you did that last year?
Well, what I did was, what I do is, if I see like there's the top six guys, if I really wanted to, I could go to Bovada right now. This is an education, folks. Believe me, you can't get anywhere else. Except
it's
on the
free, everybody. But if you want to go to the Barroom Swag Shop, go to www.deepdishtees.com/barroom and buy a hat. Look at these cool hats that we have. I'm going to put one up on the screen here while you're looking at your Bovada
thing. I got it if you want to. But the hat's beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
Be nice if I got one once in a while. This thing's about 50. This one here seen everything. If this hat hit eyes. All right, are you ready?
Absolutely.
They are beautiful. DeepDishTees.com. Check it out. /barroom. John Rahm's 1,000 to win. Price DeChambeau's now gone down to 1,400. That's not good for me, but I got it at 17. Dustin Johnson, 14. You could take the top six guys here, bet something, and if one of those six hits, you won. And you didn't lose any money. You could pay off the other bets. So there's ways to do it. You know, I usually don't like to make a total commitment on a couple other golfers until Sunday, but I'm a shut it. Jack Brickhouse used to talk about it. Hey, all you guys, all you people out there, all you kids, and all you shut ins. I said, boy, that's a dream to be a shut in. Jack made it sound special. He meant you're retired and you do some things.
That's right.
He made shut-ins sound like, well, we had COVID back then. All you shut-ins. I would like to see, because of COVID, shut-in come back. That's what I am now, a shut-in. I love every minute. But, you know what? But if you're a shut-in and you had to watch what we had to watch, okay, the next thing was looking for a beam, okay? Now you got two baseball teams. Like I said earlier, La Russa, hands down, manager of the year.
Yep.
Yep. Done. All you haters out there, get off it.
Yeah.
Bearstown says they beat the Rays.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. The Chicago White Sox play a team that everybody thinks is perhaps the best team in Major League Baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays, and they beat them 2 out of 3 games. When that first game, when the Rays took the first game of the series, I thought to myself, oh, man, are the White Sox going to be exposed here? I mean, they're missing so many key players, blah, blah, blah. But, man, they came out with a Tony La Russa attitude, and they fought. They I'm very proud of that team, how they played.
Yeah. I'll tell you this about La Russa, what he did last night. Look at what Vaughn did. Vaughn's been struggling a little bit. He moves him to 3.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he gets 3 hits. Hits another ball like a rocket. I mean, that's Tony La Russa. Mm-hmm. And if you're a hater of Tony La Russa, if you're a bigot, if you got to be something that's not a baseball fan. You're an ageist. You don't like 80-year-olds outsmarting guys half their age. Where analytics has just ruined baseball. Mm-hmm. I saw something on Twitter that was interesting, which goes in line with what I was saying about listening to other announcers, because mm-hmm. a lot of people will listen to 720, which is the whole scoreboard, because you can't get the home announcers if they're playing the White Sox. You got to go to their announcers, which is biased. Let's face it. Yeah, everything's, base hit. What a base hit! Oh, hey, base hit, Ed, what a hit. First hit. Oh, Grandel, walk. Oh. But seriously, you start listening to some of these announcers, and some of them are good. Some of them get too hysterical or do talk shows or whatever they want to do in the real when they got a great job and they should just stick to announcing the game. That could, and that's around anywhere that I've seen. There's about six announcing teams that do that.
Right.
And when I think of the White Sox and I hear that the announcer said, Abreu just got the guy to third because he's a hitter, a professional hitter, and he's not a launch angle guy. He hits the ball level like you're supposed to.
Right. That's how they destroyed.
They destroyed analytics. They said there's a perfect example of a winner, of winning baseball, moving the guy over. How many times now do you see a guy on second and he ends up there with nobody out, ends up there? They were just beating the and I said this 15 years ago. If you got a degree and you're trying to sell something on people that ends up not working, and when there's cheating going on, and when you hear the top guys like Tyler Glasnow, and you hear this Cole from the Yankees who almost was crying because he's been caught, why didn't you warn us you were going to call us out about cheating? Why didn't you tell us that this was going to happen? It's unfair when you're cheating to stop us from cheating in the middle of the season. I can't believe what I'm hearing here. They should be suspended for making those statements. I don't care if it's been handed down to you, handed up to you, handed around to you. Oh, I got taught this by the guys when I was coming up. It's still illegal. They rub the balls before you start with mud. Or they used to. I don't know if they do it anymore. But the stuff they were using, Garrett Cole's making $300 million. Guess what's down? His strikeouts, big time. He had four his last start. So the cheating that's going on, I can't believe I'm hearing guys going, hey, now I got hurt because I was cheating and you stopped me from it. And Manfred doesn't say a word. Doesn't say a word. You got ball players. Hey, I was cheating this way and you caught me, but now you're going to come out and check me? I mean, this is bad. And now runs are up, hits are up 18%. You're seeing the game on a level playing field. And I don't care if some hitters are sticking up for the pitchers. I don't care. Now, here's another thing, because we were talking about the White Sox. Six no-hitters perked everybody's ears up.
Yeah.
But six no-hitters by pitchers that were just like this, a lot of them, perked everybody's ears up.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeout rate. But the spin rate has been cut in half with Garrett Cole. Okay? So he's the main guy. There's other guys rumored, whether it be Trevor Bauer, but you can't be doing that. Now, if there's a line to be a certain line with Rosin and some, I mean, Dennis Eckersley the other day, I heard him, another great analyst on the Boston Network, say, I never heard of the suntan oil mixed with rosin. It's Dennis Eckersley. He never heard of it. He's still involved in the game. So these guys go into the lab to help them make a lot of money and to become dominant when they're already dominant, but not as dominant if they can't cheat. Period. Period.
Well said.
I mean, I got all sorts of things I could come up with today. You know, from baseball to basketball, all this garbage I've been hearing about load management. Then I hear LeBron crying about injuries. Well, wait, you're the guy that said you needed time off to sit on your ass.
That's right. Mike, what do you think about what Carlos Rodon said? He said, you're going to suspend pitchers for cheating 10 games, but you didn't suspend a single Houston Astros player for their cheating. I thought he made a great point.
I salute Carlos, one of the guys with the no-hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I salute him. And I salute the fact that he's acknowledging what everybody already knows, that Rob Manfred's a weak leader. We've seen seven-inning games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in doubleheaders, we see guys, the Sox win with a man on second in extra innings. Ridiculous. We see netting all over the field. We see people getting hurt at a mattress rate because they stretch. Just run around like we did as kids. We showed up, ran around, nobody got hurt. And as we got older, we did the same thing. You think when we played softball or football or sandlot, we all got together as a group and started stretching our legs while laying on our ass? A bunch of nonsense. Get rid of the training staffs. Hire two guys. Say, run around and do some jumping jacks. We'll be back in 10 minutes. That's it. And then start hitting. Get in the batting cage. Everybody's hurt. A bunch of BS.
Kick Pookie Nation, by the way, says, do you remember when the baseball stuck Molina's chest protector? I don't remember that, but I'd love to see video of that if that really happened.
Yes, I do.
Really? You remember that?
It hit it and it stuck. Yeah, like it was Velcro.
That's hilarious.
I remember. So all I'm saying is that if the White Sox pitching keeps holding up and they didn't do anything illegal, La Russa's manager of the year, I mean, with a runaway, clearly out managing people, putting his players in a better position like Vaughn, moving him up earlier this year, switching Madrigal with Mancada or Mancada with Madrigal. I mean, the guy is just thinking ahead of everybody else. And if you're doing promos against Tony La Russa, you're out of your mind right now.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. You have no idea.
Yeah, it's bad timing, that's for sure. Tony is performing miracles with all the injuries on this team. For him to have this team with the best record in baseball is unbelievable.
They needed somebody who believed in them. They loved the guy.
Mm-hmm.
When the media was trying to turn everybody on him, once again, folks, how many times am I going to be right? When I say Tony La Russa's an upgrade, and everybody's going, I don't think so. He's old, and he had a curb, and he drank, and he's got a DUI. When it comes to baseball, just stick to the baseball part of it. Even him ruffling the media's feathers, that's good. Mm-hmm. How dare he? How dare he say that? You know? I mean, the only thing I think the White Sox have done wrong in this whole thing, and I don't know, I haven't heard much about it, is the La Russa Lounge. That's the only thing I think they've done wrong, which means they had too much time to think about that. Mm-hmm. And that should be changed. Hopefully, I haven't heard nothing about it.
I think, I'll try to find some information on that. Dave Luckett says, our bullpen needs to cheat. My goodness, the Three Stooges, Bummer, Hurer, and Marshall, it's a liquidation sale at every time they come in with a lead. They've had some bad luck recently. That is true.
They were on a roll a little bit,
yeah.
And then this happened.
Right.
You know what? There's a lot of teams with bad bullpens. There's more bad pitching in the major leagues than good pitching. Who do we hear about? And we hope the kid's okay. Sort of DeGrom's hurt right now. We hear about though the DeGrom's of the world, the Coles of the world, the top pitchers, the Darvishes of the world. Believe me when I tell you this. If you bet baseball for a living, you have bet, especially with my system, some of the worst pitchers in major league history. Okay? And there's a lot of bad pitching out there. And everybody's looking for an edge, and that's where we get back to the cheating scandal and everything else. I mean, think about this. Carlos Rodon's right. Manfred's harder on these guys than he is on the Houston Astros. And Alex Cora and A.J. Hinch are managing a year afterwards because I know they cut a deal or said they were going to start spreading the news like Frank Sinatra used to say, I'm hearing today that everybody cheats and I'll name names.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think happened here. They're both back with managerial jobs in a year, but they lost credibility. I wish them nothing as far as their professional careers, but the worst, because they hurt baseball, and Manfred's hurt baseball. But here's the thing that bothers me about the pitcher's deal. They're going to pay him. That's 10-day, which is two starts. They're paying him. What kind of deferment is that?
That's nuts.
That's Rob Manfred. Hey, if you're caught cheating, you may get embarrassed by your hometown newspaper or, you know, on the internet and what have you, and you're going to have a bad name. It's going to hurt your Hall of Fame chances if you're that good. If you're Max Scherzer, maybe, and you were doing this, or somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get paid. right there, it's out of bounds. Manfred's a caterer to cheating, period. He's a caterer to it. I watched Eight Men Out the other night.
Yeah, great movie.
They were found not guilty, really.
Yeah.
Until and then Landa said, I don't care what they found you on, because they'll fix the damn trial. You're done. And that's what these guys should have been. And instead, you got more with the video you had. Now you got sticky stuff. And somebody was complaining. And they were hearing it how bad their product was because there was a lack of offense. When in this day and age, you do need some offense.
Yep. I'm doing some
good work today. Good work. Good work.
You're on fire. Let's take a quick look at the White Sox schedule here. Now they go on to play your favorite team, the Houston Astros.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? They got it. You hope to split.
Yeah, and then they got Pittsburgh. And then they've got Pittsburgh on the road before they come back home against Seattle. So it's going to be an interesting time for the Chicago White Sox. And Dave Luckett says, I hope we whoop those clowns in Houston this weekend. And boy, oh boy, Dave, I'm with you, brother.
If we go 4-3 in those games, you know, we got a 4-game series, a 3-game series, or is it a 2-game series with Pittsburgh? Whatever. If we go 4-2, 4-3, what have you, to basically do that, that's good. Mm-hmm. We went like the Cubs now. The Cubs went 3-4, and we were happy about that. And then Willie Harris goes and decides to try to become a hero and plays hero ball the other night by waving a guy in, and he gets thrown out. I mean, the ball didn't reach the wall. You know DeGrom's going the next day. Mm-hmm. Hayward is struggling, but there's only one out. You end up on third. You wave the guy in. He's out by a mile. Mm-hmm. And that just set up yesterday. And now you're hoping they win today. I mean, that's basically what we're looking at here. So, for the people covering for a third base coach, shut up. Shut the hell up. He screwed up like a baseball player screws up if he makes an error. It was a bad move. I talked to my buddy John Jansen from Win Daily, that the show that we do daily. We're not going to be doing it today, but we're doing it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And he watched the game. He said, there's no reason to wave that guy in. None. It was stupid baseball. Leave it at that. David Ross going, well, we want to be aggressive. Not stupid. That's a stupid run. If the ball gets through, he scores. But if the outfielder cuts it off, you don't move a man. I don't care how fast you think he is. 3 bases.
There you go. Well said. Hart4803 wants you to put your GM hat on. He says, will Han trade for Nick Madrigal's replacement, get a rental like Eduardo Escobar or Jonathan Shoup? Will he add bullpen help? What do you think what do you think Han should do?
Well, right now he's not going to do anything, but if Jonathan Scope is ready, if he's ready to go, you go for him. I think Detroit would be in a dealing mood. The only problem is they are in our division. I think Detroit, even with that, the fixer, as I call him, the manager, A.J. Hinch, I think they're on the come. I think they're a good ball, up-and-coming baseball team. I think they'll be the White Sox nemesis maybe in a year or two. The White Sox have no peer in their division. If they could pick up a reliever, fine, but that's not easy. There's teams, look, you don't think there's teams in baseball with worse bullpens than the Sox? I'll give you the Atlanta Braves bullpen. I'll give you a ton of bullpens that are bad. Okay? And so maybe pick up a second baseman. I like Mendick. I don't have a problem with Mendick, although the other night he booted a ball I thought he should have. But as long as you got a lead and you're not losing it, I think as the season goes on and then you get towards the trade deadline or what have you, I think then you look and you reanalyze your team. Right now, leave it the way it is. It just seems like it's a next man up type of thing. And every guy that's stepping up, I mean, it's almost to the point where Eloy is coming back and you don't want him to because the chemistry might get screwed up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Well, no, don't come back now. Maybe you're not ready. And where are you going to put him? People think he's going to left field. I'm not putting him back in left field ever. So that means you got Grandel, who's got to catch. Zach Collins, it looks like the odd man out because Grandel is walking a lot. He had a big well, yesterday. You know, he's coming through now. What's this? There we go. Did you see that thing pop up? Okay.
Nope.
Oh, good. Anyway, you just keep things the way they are right now because La Russa's your manager.
Well, I totally agree with everything you said. I want to talk about one more topic before we start.
Go ahead, baby. I'm ready.
Okay, good. I want to get some Cubs talk in here.
No doubt about it. The Cubs are Jimmy Durante, that way.
Yeah. Oh, Jimmy Durante. Wow, name from the past. Yeah. TheAthletic.com has an article. The title is White Sox catcher Yasmani Grandal having the best bad hitting season in Major League Baseball history? And basically they are saying that he's hitting 149. That's his batting average. But his OPS is the second best in baseball. So what does that mean, Mike? What do you think about it?
You don't pay $77 million for a guy that walks a lot. But it does add to his look. I'll give him all the credit in the world. He doesn't want to swing sometimes, but then when he's very particular. He's got a decent eye. I'm being fair.
Yeah.
I like McCann better. He's hitting better. Mm-hmm. But Grandel's hitting power numbers. Half of his hits are home runs.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't pay $77 million for that, but that is a strength that he has right now. Now, when you get to August and September, he's going to have to throw people out. I don't think he can, although the other day he did. So the guy looks like he works hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not downing him, but you can't be hitting 150 making that kind of money. That's just the bottom line. And sooner or later, our catching is going to haunt us defensively, not only because of them, but because of our pitchers not keeping people close. Mm. And, you know, Cease has got to get better at that. But you know what? We overcome all this. That's what I love about this team. I mean, you'll hear a guy's in a slump like Moncada was in April, and then all of a sudden he goes nuts. Then you'll hear Tim Anderson's hot, then he goes in the slump, but then he comes back. They seem very resilient. Adam Engel's back, adding something to the team. I mean, I'm really high on this team, and I was against the rebuild. Unless you pick up, and these are great pickups by Rick Hahn.
Right.
Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
Keuchel. Yep. That's not rebuilding guys. Those are established guys. Tony La Russa, 80-year-old guy. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the rebuild the way it was going. Once they thought the rebuild was done, they said we still have to add 3 or 4 or 5 guys. But they got to be veterans like the Cubs did with Hendricks. And this is an opposite. He got Hendricks from the Orioles, I believe. They got Arrieta from the American League. They got Lester from the American League. The rebuild was going like crap. Until they went and paid for these guys. They did get Rizzo from San Diego. Totally good move by them. That's what I see the White Sox did. But the difference is Lance Lynn came from the American League. And usually when you come from the American League to the, when you come from the National League to the American League, you get beat up. You know, it's usually the American League guys that have to face 9 hitters through every lineup. Like the Lesters of the world and the Arriettas and guys like that, that get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to give him credit. And Lance Lynn, you know who he reminds me of? I don't know if I told you this because maybe I did. I'm at that age now.
Hello, everybody.
Look at that head of hair. That's beautiful. Yeah. That is gorgeous.
Something's just coming out of nowhere there. He reminds me that 1 year of Sutcliffe. Only Sutcliffe was unbelievable. When we got Sutcliffe in 84, halfway through the season, I have never seen a better pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
From the time the Cubs got him, look at his record. I think he lost one game or something. He was unbelievable. His fastball was unreal. His movement, his mechanics, his intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at Lance Lynn as a poor man Sutcliffe. I don't think he's Rick Sutcliffe that year. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about Sandberg and everybody else. Sutcliffe, you should pat him on the back.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pick him up, we don't win, I don't think. But the pickups by Hahn have been great. They really have.
He was 16-1 in the 1984 season. Rick Sutcliffe. Oh. That was a magical year and a magical performance.
Oh my God, he was so good.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And the Dodgers got rid of him. You know, Lasorda was sort of, at the time he had him, up and down with them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they saw this coming. I didn't. Yeah. I knew he was good. You know, I thought he was like Bob Welch, who used to pitch for them.
Sure.
Not the singer. The other guy. Okay. Ebony Eyes. Bob Welch, don't play with me. I know what I'm talking about. Ebony Eyes. What a bad song. Anyway.
Good comparison. And Dave Luckett has a good comparison. He says that Yaz's contract is similar to Carlos Boozer. Oh. And that is true. I mean, Boozer did some good things, but he was overpaid. I mean, and Yaz is sort of, that's a good comparison. Yaz Montegrin.
Well, you know what? I think Boozer might be better defensively at catcher. And all I heard is how great he was. But listen, I'm not here to down this guy. If we're winning with him, stick with it. I could give to you know what.
Yes.
If we can win with, if we could go all the way with Grandel and Collins as our catchers, I think it's going to be a problem. Because in the postseason, when guys get on base, steals pick up a little bit. Maybe fundamental baseball, bunting, doing things you have to do. But also, you better hit more than 150. So we'll see what he does.
There you go.
And I'm much kinder in my 30th year. In my 30th year. But don't know. His on-base percentage, you have to look at it.
We're going to talk about your 30 years to close the show. But now let's talk about the Chicago Cubs. They have gone on the road and lost, three or four straight now to the New York Mets. And this is a team that just is having a hard time winning on the road. Mike, in all your experience covering baseball, what is it about teams that when they go on the road, they just can't get it together? What's going on there?
Well, you're partying too much maybe for certain teams. You're, you're not getting your right rest. You're more comfortable at home. You got a better routine. But we go back to when they used to lose to Houston when Houston wasn't even that good. You'd go to the Astrodome, you know, with Jimmy Wynn, the toy cannon, you know, and, average teams, and they'd get their ass kicked. You know, Larry Durker, you know, you'd face Nolan. Back in the day, even bad teams, Larry Durker, Nolan Ryan, you're facing the Houston Astros. Good luck to everybody. Mike Scott. I mean, my God. I mean, you were facing, some pretty heavy artillery back in the day. But, yeah, there's certain the West Coast trips for the Bulls used to give them trouble, the Texas Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you know what? If you're winning, you should be .500 on the road if you're going to be viable, and you should be above .500 easily at home, which the White Sox are. Plus, their record against lefty pitchers is unbelievable. They keep winning that way. I think they only got like four losses. So that's it. Now the Cubs going to New York. Do I have to cite the history?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, Santos and Aaron Dexter or Hundley, and the cat started just doing circles around him and look at him and laughing at him with a meow, you know, just circling. I mean, like it was praying. You face good pitching then. Seaver, Kuzman, Curtis Gentry, Nolan Ryan again, you know. But, the road is always tough for certain teams, you know. I remember the Yankees used to come into town. They were so damn good, they'd beat us anyway in front of 50,000 in the 60s. They could party all night, get up on 3 hours sleep. They took pride in beating you on less sleep than you. So there are certain teams, the Oakland A's, I don't think they feared many. But you know what? Your really, really good teams can play anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Now, one of the things about in the past with the Cubs was the schedule. You know, they played a lot of home games at Wrigley Field, and then they would go on the road and play all these night games, and so their biological clock was off. That was always an excuse, but I don't know if you can use that excuse so much nowadays because they play a lot of night games at Wrigley now.
Absolutely. They play night games at Wrigley. You can't use that excuse. I still love day baseball. I saw them wither away in 69 and 70. Believe me, I climbed those stairs as a vendor in 69. Ask me if I was going up them stairs in September the same way I went up those stairs in May. 90-degree heat hitting you like seven suns. Like there were seven suns. Humid. people yelling at you. Give me my Coke. Where's my change? You know? The spring in my step was gone, so I got to believe the spring in Santo's step was gone. By that time, they were exhausted. And the road games, I heard the Cubs were very active participants as far as being road happiness.
Yes.
And the Warriors.
I've heard some of those stories, too.
I mean, you know, I just heard the legs went out on them a little bit, some certain guys. You know, funny. And they played all day baseball.
Uh-huh.
You know? And so when they played night game, listen. I shot pool one night. There's a guy in an afro, black dude in an afro, at a place called the Extra Innings Tavern,
Great name.
Was one of the taverns on Clark Street, which has probably been four different caverns since. And in the middle of this place, they had a pool table. Okay? And I shot against this black dude one night. Or I thought he was black. He was Hispanic. But he looked sort of like half of him. Willie Hernandez. I shot pool against Willie Hernandez. I beat Willie Hernandez in pool. Willie Hernandez had to get out of town. He used to stay up late. Okay? He goes to Detroit and wins a Cy Young. Okay? Let's go down the line. I'm shooting. I don't know if I was playing darts. I was at a bar. And I meet this guy. We start drinking. I'm going, this son of a bitch is pounding. I tell my buddy. Now, remember, this is me saying that, which I could go. I could go. And I'm boom, 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 boom. The other guy, boom. I go, hey, man, what's your name? He goes, Bill. Bill what? Bill Caudle. Bill Caudle, the pitcher from the Cubs.
Oh, wow.
Remember Bill Caudle?
Sure do.
Or do not. Bill Caudle. Bib overalls, cowboy hat. Pounded. What happens? Good pitcher. But he goes to Toronto, becomes a better pitcher. Night games. It was the party and lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were some good memories.
Yeah. You know, that that happens to people like who were TV reporters. Excuse me?
Dennis Eckersley.
Oh, perfect example.
He was an alcoholic with the Cubs. Then he goes to Oakland night games, quits drinking, boom! That might have been, it was, I don't know what the name of the, it might have been 2100 North Clark, I don't know. Like, I was checking addresses. It had a Budweiser sign in the window. I went in. Oh, is this 2100 Clark? I love you, brother.
Oh, I love it too. Cubs schedule is up on the screen. They now will play. Where are they?
Cleveland, Miami.
They go to Miami is at Wrigley Field starting Friday, and then Cleveland comes in for a two-game set Monday and Tuesday, a day off on Wednesday, and then they got the Dodgers on the road. That's going to be interesting. So they've got to start winning some road games. But they've got this home set with the Miami Marlins coming up and the Cleveland Indians. So hopefully they can win those games and solidify. Because I think they are in a virtual tie for first place now. So they got to start winning some ball games here.
They got to start winning some ball games. They got to be smart about what they're doing. Get their proper run. The Miami can sneak up on you. I think the surprise at baseball right now is Atlanta's not playing well. Freddie Freeman's only hitting like 240. You know, they started publicizing him, and now that he's getting to him a little bit, and he's got some good players on that team. So, you know, Miami, L.A., they're all good teams. You got to keep playing. And then, you know, have the Cubs been doing it with Mears? I don't know. You know, Baez, he swings for a home run every time he's up, and when he hits, he hits, and when he doesn't, he doesn't, but can't complain about him. You know, I mean, look, let's just hope it works out for both teams.
I agree totally. Let's shift gears here. I want to get your opinion about this man, Aaron Rodgers. Goes on TV, starts talking about the Packers and stuff, and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, "I'm offended." Have you ever seen a more passive-aggressive person in your life than Aaron Rodgers? I mean, this guy really, really knows how to push people's buttons. He's apparently a very sensitive guy. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I've always thought, and I think that, I mean, if you're looking for athletes who have won, who make the playoffs with very little around them. Look at Doncic. Look at Doncic from the Mavericks. They look like he had nobody around him. So a lot of players, you know, can make that claim. I'm tired of him. I never liked him to begin with. He's got one Super Bowl. I do believe one Super Bowl win. I do believe if you're a Green Bay fan, you do want him back. But to me, he's like LeBron, who's questioning injuries now because of COVID. You know, LeBron James is the guy that started introducing load management, saying we need more days off. It will be better for us. You know, and these two guys, between Aaron Rodgers, seeing Tom Brady get out, now he wants out from an organization that's been pretty good to him. He didn't cry 2 years ago. He didn't cry 3 years ago. I think the MVP's made him bolder. He sees what Brady's done. LeBron James. All I hear is that load management is good for these guys. Nobody plays as much as they used to, and they're hurt, and everybody's blaming certain things. You can't call the NBA out on that. You agreed to it. The players agreed to it. You got to be in shape. You got to play. You don't spar 1 week before a title fight. You spar 6 weeks. That's why you're seeing injuries to all these guys. They started sitting on their ass. Kawhi Leonard, load management. Kawhi Leonard hurt. LeBron James, taking off a night. LeBron James hurt. Anthony Davis, load management. Anthony Davis hurt. I'll go all night long, like Lionel Richie. So we're seeing a change in sports, Aldo. We're seeing a change in sports, and you're seeing crybabies like Aaron Rodgers, who got everything, trying to make the public who's got nothing, 50 million people out of work during the pandemic, care about what the hell he thinks. You know, the only thing sicker than what I've heard is that there's still this group that thinks Jay Cutler got a raw deal in Chicago. He was the worst face of a franchise I've ever seen in my history, of covering the media ever, who was 57-57 and couldn't beat Green Bay to save his life. And now he feels like he wasn't appreciated enough. He was a piece of crap. And anybody that wants to go along with his 500-ass throwing statistics can go ahead. He didn't get it done. He didn't beat Green Bay, and he was a 500 guy, and we paid him $118 million, and he said he wasn't appreciated by the fans. The fans are smart. They finally woke up. The media kissed his ass. So Aaron Rodgers can have the same thing happen to him. He can go somewhere else. He can go to Denver and stink. And stink. Sometimes you're comfortable where you're at. Aaron Rodgers means, and for Bear fans who think Justin Fields is going to start, Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. I mean, everybody's living in a dream world. What is going on? He may stay in Green Bay, and Justin Fields, I can promise you, isn't going to start. And you know why? Because I got angles. I know angles. Here's his angle. If I start Fields' first game and he doesn't work out or he gets hurt, I'm fired at the end of the year. How stupid do you people have to be? Dalton is the insurance policy for him being able to get paid for 2 to 3 more years. They make wins 5 or 6 games. And I hear people saying he should start. Even if they're 1 and 3. If you start him and he gets hurt or he's not ready and things get worse, then where do you turn? You left yourself nothing. You already killed Dalton like you killed Foles. So please be smart about this. Am I right or wrong, Yeld? Did I make a mistake in this? Because I got angles. I know this. That would be my angle if I was him.
Well, you make a great, great point. You know, starting him right away and he gets off to a slow start because he's a rookie would look really, really bad for Matt Nagy because basically he threw Mitchell Trubisky under the bus last season and blamed everything that's happened the last 2 seasons on Mitchell. And so if he starts Justin Fields and they get off to a slow start, people will be calling for Matt Nagy's head. So that's
in a heartbeat. And all these jersey wearers, all the people that are buying Fields jerseys, that's fine. There are people that bought Tim Couch jerseys. And there's people that bought Peyton Manning jerseys. What happens if Justin Fields is somewhere in the middle? And what happens if Justin Fields' stats are the same as Mitch's after 3-4 years? That's all I'm saying. Here's what we're missing here. It might not even be about him. He may be great. Our defense is the thing I'm worried about, and nobody has talked about it. Nobody. We lost Fuller. I don't care. I thought he was good. We lost him. Okay? We lost other people. And then you got Eddie Goldman, who still thinks COVID is going to kill him. So where do we... I think the defensive side of the ball, with a novice still coaching as our defensive coach, who's been here for 8 years, and you didn't get it before. And you got Pettin from Cleveland and Green Bay. I just think that the defensive side of the ball, if we have problems, is going to be long drives, Aldo, keeping the drives alive, third and six. I think that the Bears defense comes back this year, and I don't think this is another different defensive coordinator, from Fazio to the guy, you know, who was our guy last year? He's escaping my mind.
Pagano
and this guy.
And Fangio, yep.
Talk about quarterbacks that go under different offensive coordinators. You're playing another guy's defense. It's going to be different no matter what. Mm-hmm. Plus, you got another guy from Green Bay, Pettin, who knows how to beat Green Bay, apparently. No, he doesn't. But the defense, nobody has addressed it. Everybody's walking around in la-la land like a guy that dropped like a log into the water. Justin Fields is going to be our answer. We got to have defense.
Mm-hmm. Mike.
I bought a Aaron McDowell jersey, I think.
Our man, Dan Aguirre, who I do a show with on Tuesday nights, he's got jerseys for every Bears quarterback going back to the Cade McNown days. I'm like, why are you spending all this money on these guys or before they've even proven themselves?
I may be the only guy that, if I wanted to, maybe for our last Bear Barroom show before we do the introductory show to the other thing, they'll produce a Steve Walsh, okay, and Shane Matthews jersey, good old number 9.
Oh, Mike, you got to do that.
Number 4, I got a Steve Walsh hanging in there. Hanging in my closet. I can't part with it. And Shane Matthews, who was a good friend of mine, who did a show with me at Hooters every week. He was a great guy. And I liked them both. I mean, they were perfect for the time because the Bears, we needed ball control quarterbacks. Now, forget about it. But I'm just telling you, Bear fans are loaded with jerseys. Look at all the Trubisky jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, by the way, you can order a Buffalo Bill Trubisky jersey, or should I do it?
I was thinking about ordering you one.
Hey, I ride with him, man. All this nonsense about Andy Dalton shouldn't start. We just paid him $10 million. We gonna sit him on his ass? I heard on the phone. He said, "You want me to be a starter?"
Where's the contract?
He thought his career was almost over.
Really? Before you presented your angles, which is very convincing, Heart4803 posted this on the chat room. I'm more angry about Nagy making Dalton QB1 without seeing what Fields can do in training camp. It's supposed to be a competition. And that's a good point. Why did he say, why didn't he just say, listen, Dalton is the number one quarterback on the depth chart, but anything can happen. We'll see what happens in training camp and leave it at that.
Because you can't buy his word on anything, because we know this for a fact, or I do, because I had people out there. Foles maybe had 1 or 2 days that were good when he went up against Trubisky, and they already were nodding at Foles to start. Okay. But then COVID hit and everything, they already had it planned. So, but this is where I think Justin Fields isn't ready yet. And they're trying to convince everybody they got to steal in the draft. But like I said, any one of these guys, including Trevor Lawrence, could bomb. Andy Dalton buys, I will say this once again, he buys Nagy time, buys him money, buys him an extra year or two that he really doesn't deserve, since Mitch saved his ass last year after that debacle. Don't forget who's running the show here. That major debacle last year and the year before. the picking up of Foles, the nonsense, and they get another shot. But there's no way they're starting. If they start Justin Fields game one, my God, I will tell you this, I will be more stunned than anything in my life, because Nagy's a manipulator. He's a businessman, and, you know, he's a glad hander. Mm-hmm. And he's got the media on his side to help him out with this, because they went against Trubisky last year when Trubisky, clearly from what I've heard, was the better quarterback in preseason. And by the way, this is the guy that didn't play a whole preseason, his starters. So remember that. Clearly, the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You didn't even develop your quarterback, supposedly, even though he won for you. Saved your ass. You didn't even let him play a practice game to get ready for the season. Or the rest of your team.
Do you agree with Bearstown 19 show that Nagy is like Wani?
Absolutely. I think he's about the same. I think that he's got his ideas, but I just don't think – I haven't seen a lot of, oh, my God, this guy, he deserved the job. I say, oh, my God, this guy got Andy Reid coffee. That's how he got the job. Mm-hmm. So he's got to convince me more. And I know he's made the playoffs a couple times. And there's some guy said, well, Trubisky's going to make the playoffs again this year. I don't know if he starts at some point, but he's going to help Buffalo. I guarantee it. I may bet the first game that he starts, unless Josh Allen stays healthy, which would be great for Buffalo. And then Trubisky could go to Green Bay next year when Aaron Rodgers gets traded.
Dave Luckett says that Matt Nagy is Mike D'Antoni.
No, Mike D'Antoni's more of the coach of the – I think he's talking about the former coach of the Phoenix and Houston Rockets.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why anybody would look at him. I met Mike. I was in Phoenix for the Super Bowl, and they had a game. We went to the game, and I got to meet him. And we talked, but I didn't have the guts to tell him, you don't teach defense. That's why you're going to lose for the rest of your natural born life, you know? Mm-hmm. And he always has decent teams offensively, but who doesn't nowadays in the NBA? So we'll see.
Hart 4803 says he's not optimistic about the upcoming Bears season. And, you know, it's funny that he says that, because last night I was thinking the same thing. I'm starting to worry that this may be the worst season of Matt Nagy's run as head coach. He's been 500 or better in each of the three seasons that he's had, but this one could be under 500. What do you think?
Well, I think that when you get rid of a quarterback that you've been 500 or better with for three straight seasons, you're an idiot. That's just me.
There you go. Exclamation point.
You're a complete idiot. And last year you were 500 only because the other guy stunk that you touted. So you're a complete moron. That's my opinion. If he doesn't like it, too bad. I would never get rid of Trubisky, especially with Rodgers going. It's going to take Dalton time. And they don't play like these. I'm just telling you. That's just the way I feel. I mean, you know what? I stick with Mitch. I'm not getting off that Mitch train like everybody wants you to. You know, you don't like Mitch Trubisky, but Justin Fields is a can't-miss Hall of Famer. People have lost their goddamn minds. You know, they really have.
Well, let's hope that he's a Hall of Famer. But, yeah, he's got a lot to prove.
Oh, yeah. Mike,
to close the show, I want to just let people know that you are celebrating your 30th year in broadcasting, in sitting behind a microphone, sharing stories, creating laughs, challenging people in the sports business world, whether they're the president of the Chicago Bears or whether they're players or whether they're fans. You've gone toe-to-toe with them, expressing your opinion. This is your 30th anniversary. Congratulations to you, first and foremost, but also why don't you share some thoughts about what it means to be 30 years in this business?
Well, I think that I'm more proud of my rebirth. And thank you, Harp. I'm more proud of my rebirth. And my rebirth started with Bears Barroom. I said, look, my type of talk isn't going to be tolerated at a huge extent anymore, because I'll just speak honestly. And, you know, it used to be you got two opinions. So I said, I'll go to handicapping, but I got to get a platform. So I came to you, called you up, reached out to you. We started feeling each other out a little bit. I think that feeling out process took about a year and a half, because we're both distrustful of people. There's no doubt about that. including ourselves. Yeah. And not distrustful people or family or stuff like that. Distrustful people in the business. Not everybody, but certain people.
Sure.
So that happened. And then Adam Delavant and Mark Potash, who got me in the Tribune, I went on huge runs. I picked 18 out of 19 games. I made handicapping my forte. If you're looking at my Twitter handle now, it's going to be changing shortly. But it's all handicapping now. And entertainment and dogs and what have you, maybe a hot chick or something, hot lady, but it's not none of this debating, because I don't have the time to debate if Justin Fields is going to be a Hall of Famer anymore. I'm celebrating my 30th year. That's beneath me. It really is. That, oh, I'm hoping everything turns out all right. I'm out of that business. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to have some fun this year. I hope to be on a lot of outlets. We'll talk about that. We got special things coming up, but yeah. And then to work for ESPN, Adam Delavant, Jim Pastor, guys like that who brought me back. I mean, to be doing terrestrial radio when most of the guys I broke in with are done. I'm not just talking sports radio. I'm talking, look back to 92, look at the lineups. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you're talking about. They're gone and I'm still around. So it means a lot. It means that people still want to hear what I have to say. We're doing very well at ESPN. We've done well at Bear Barroom. And, you know, I'm not going to blow anybody's mind anymore, but I'll still be honest, but it's going to be fun talking about things like that down the road.
Yep.
Well, and my career as a whole, if anybody, I know this, you have ups and downs and all arounds in your career, but I know that 99%, including the money that I made, of the people that do radio would love to trade careers with me, period.
There you go.
And the fact that I was on Fox 2 and I'm on ESPN over 30 years, I'm very proud of, including the score and AM 1000.
Q from Cincy says, thank you, Mike, for 20 years of the 30 from Fox Sports with Furman till now. Really appreciate your opinions over the years. Special coming from Cincinnati and not being from Chicago. Yeah. And he nails that. He nails that. You have made an influence on sports fans across the country. And I really love this sentiment from Dave. Congrats, Mike. My dad and I listened to you on the score, taking me to school in the 1990s. Longevity, congratulations! I just got a little chills there because that's what it's all about.
Fred Huebner on Mikey Betts' podcast talked about some of the stuff that we did. If you get a chance to listen to that, check out Fred Huebner, the podcast with Mikey Betts, and maybe he could put out the cut of Fred Huebner saying this. Because he sort of encompassed it. I know that John Suntress is going to be doing some stuff on the 30, on some of his radio years. You know, it's a good time because those were the years when you could say almost anything. And really, the printed word hurt you more than the you know, Rob Feeder and those guys, critics would print stuff 3 weeks later after they found out about it to help you or to hurt you. The fact that I'm still around after 30 years, I know, just pisses so many of the squares off.
Dave reminds us of the Pat Riley story. Shaving his head is classic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I just used to say, screw it. It's fun, you know. And at the time, oh my God.
This is a great question here from Bearstown 19 Show. He says, inspire me. Who did you listen to when you were growing up? When you turned on that AM transistor radio and wanted to listen to sports, who did you listen to?
Well, I listened, first of all, to music. I listened in the 60s to WLS. I listened to Art Roberts. I listened to WCFL, Barney Pipp, Ron Riley, Dex Card. I know a radio like the back of my hand. My dad listened to Wally Phillips, who had a 30 share at the time, which would be unheard of today. But I didn't. I listened more to rock and roll. I also listened when I worked for the Park District with the Walkman on to Steve Daw, who I became friends with later on. That's Steve Daw and Gary Meyer. I listened to them. And I played a lot of music myself. I'm more music. I mean, I know rock and roll like the back of my hand. Sports, they didn't have a lot of sports on rail, but Chet Kopic was the guy that I listened to. Dan McNeil was his producer at the time. Those were what I really got into the fact. I think I can do this this radio thing, but I don't know how I'm going to get in. So this will be stuff that will be talked about down the line. But, yeah, I listened to mostly music growing up, 60s and 70s, and then Kopic in the 80s. And well, Bruce Wolf. Bruce Wolf with Chet Chit Chat. I always tell Bruce that was one of my favorites. I mean, you know what? You can take Bruce or you cannot take Bruce. But one thing's for sure. He had Chet Chit Chat, which is one of my favorite bits of all time.
It really, really was some of the funniest thing I have ever heard on radio when Bruce Wolf did Chet Chit Chat. The other thing is that, yeah, when you were a kid growing up, there wasn't sports talk radio. No. So that's
where I got my idea.
Exactly. That's part of your legacy.
They did Kopic 7-10. So when Danny Lee came in, I said, you know, you got to try sports radio. Danny Lee had XRT and he was looking for another outlet. That's basically all I'm going to say about it. And there's a lot of people over there that don't even know that history, you know, but you know, yeah, it's hard to topple a statue when the statue's alive.
That's a great quote.
We got that 1927 style lineup.
Yep.
Cher.
Well,
McNeil, Boris, Jiggets, and North.
Yeah, and I just want to let everybody know next week's show is going to be a very, very special Mike North
advantage. No, the show after that, right?
Well, that's your call. I thought we were going to do one more. Maybe it's two more. Whatever it is, next
week. I thought we were going to do one more. You know what? Next week's show will be it.
Yeah, and so we're going to have a very special announcement next week. So you must join us live for that announcement, and this is going to be great. And we might
join me, won't you? As we ride away.
We might have to go long on that show because after the announcement, there's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of comments and so forth.
Yeah, but I didn't want to spill the beans. We got a long way to go.
Oh, yes. No.
You know that.
Yeah, it's going to be an announcement, but also more of a tease as to what.
That's it. I love teasing.
Mike, before you go, real quickly, your two U.S. Open picks, just so that we can go
over Koepka. DeChambeau over Koepka and
the Mickelson match versus
Mickelson, whoever he's playing. Oh, Westwood over Mickelson, and then DeChambeau. I got him at +1700. It's gone to +1400 to win right now. We'll see what happens.
All right, he is Mike North. He's my hero. We'll see you all
next week. Come on, everybody. Yee-hoo! We'll be right back.